like Mozart, just like Mozart, he was immediately at home in the classical world. If we mislay our guidebooks or our Baedekers, we could always turn to Mendelssohn's letters, To and From Italy, which he first went to in 1830 when he was 21. And he knows exactly where to go, what to do, what to say, whom to see, what the sights are, how to react to them. It's a guidebook. Go in by the street door, and halfway up the stairs, you'll see on the left, you'll see the tiny chapel of St. Sernes. As a guidebook. And like Mozart, he's doing the other things too. He's studying inner voices in Italian church music. That's what he's doing. He says so. And he makes notes in every sense of what he sees and hears. And like Mozart, he writes an Italian symphony. But his, I'm bound to say, is the truly memorable one. It sounds to me like a sort of coloured travelogue drawn from actual experience. Every movement is a movement. It moves along with the people in a procession or a dance or a festival. Mozart himself described that music as drawn directly from Italian life. And it's surely his symphonic masterpiece, full of felt life. And it actually fulfills Schumann's prediction. Here's a very funny thing. Schumann said and wrote in his diary that the Italian language reminded him of A minor. A sustained chord of A minor, he says. Well, if you listen to Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony, you hear many a sustained chord of A major and minor. It has an A minor finale. If you listen to Mendelssohn's Venetian gondola music, it's in A minor. He sets his Venetian song in A minor. It's as if he's trying to fulfill Schumann's prediction. But Schumann could never have heard of anything like that. Now, in that Italian connection, there's a very close kinship between Mendelssohn and Brahms, which I found quite surprising. It's quite true, of course, that Brahms was far more secretive about his personal life and his attitudes, but it's not just coincidence that he kept a picture of the boy Mendelssohn on his desk all his life. They were in many ways soulmates, and again it was the fir tree needing the palm tree. They just weren't cross-fertile, that's tough. No hybrids. But Brahms loved everything about Italy: music, landscape, architecture, art, people. But he found it all too late. He was typically late in discovering all delights, and those among others. 1878, he was 45, his first visit to Italy. But after that, he really could never have enough of it. His letters to Clara Schumann, which are so often painfully reticent, convoluted, shy. When he goes to Italy, he becomes amazingly lyrical about the wonders of Siena Cathedral. He too, like Schumann, compared Clara with the Raphael Madonna. His ideal of Germany and womanly beauty was drawn from Italian art. Went on 9 Italian holidays altogether, walking and sightseeing with dear friends, staying at very modest hotels, just to be close to the land and the people. And like Mendelssohn, Brahms was something of an intellectual. He bought all the travel books and grammars and spent all his time learning all the irregular verbs, but never actually saying anything very much. I know the feeling. But that ground was clearly fertile for him, and I asked myself, what were the works he was writing in Italy? And actually, I think I would like to try to identify them. One work in particular, which I'm sure must have been sketched or even composed in Italy, begins with this, what sounds to me like an Italian melody, thus. Now, and if you look at Brahms' music generally, you hear from time to time melodies like that. And they seem to be melodies that the sun has been shining on, which are rare in Brahms and create, in me, an instantaneous impression of their source of inspiration. However, that's exceptional. The North German Brahms was like Schumann. They had introverted minds. They shared a passion not only for Clara, but for chess. They both played chess. They loved musical ciphers. Their minds went inwards, quite the opposite of Mozart and Mendelssohn, who were highly cultured and outgoing citizens of the world, so Italy was for them. And in between those extremes, we find Hugo Wolf.